Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
So good, so kind, so merciful, so just.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. This is the second Sunday of Lent. Second Sunday of Lent. Have you put into practice anything that has been taken from this radio program? Or perhaps there are other things in your life that you know have an even higher priority, or they might fall into one of the categories I gave you. But please, please take Lent very seriously. Please, brothers and sisters, we don't have forever. You want to make sure your life is in order so that whatever comes down the pike for any of us, we're in a much better place to be able to deal with it, be ready for it. We're also in a much better place to receive the joys and the beauty and the glory that God wants to give us, sometimes even in the midst of difficulty. So open up your heart. Open up your heart to Him and make sure that you don't go any longer in preparing and really living out Lent the way that God wants to encourage you. I've mentioned several times a book by Robert Cardinal Sara from Africa. The title of the book is God or Nothing. I highly recommend it if you want a, as the subtitle says, a conversation on faith. The title of the book is God or Nothing, but the subtitle is A Conversation on Faith, published by Ignatius Press. Highly recommend it as reading during Lent. It will give you a perspective on the world. It will give you an understanding of the battle against faith that's going on all over the world. It'll give you a much clearer sense of where we are as North Americans, where we are in the midst of all that, and what God is asking of us. So Robert Cardinal Sara, God or Nothing, published by Ignatius Press. I also want to recommend to you a little book. It's entitled The Impact of God. The Impact of God. It's put together by Father Ian Matthew. Father Ian Matthew, The Impact of God. It's a small book, but it's gold. And I really would like to encourage you to read it, especially during this time of Lent. I think it'll lead you, as the book itself says, that John of the Cross is the surest guide into the mystery of God's love. That John of the Cross is our surest guide into the mystery of God's love. And if you feel like it's an area you need to grow in more, the title is The Impact of God, and written by Father Ian Matthew. Father Ian Matthew. And I really want to encourage you to take a look. I'm sure if you go online, you can order the book. It's not a brand new book. It's published by Hodder, Hodder, first published in Great Britain in 1995. And this paperback edition was published in 2010. So Hodder in London is the original publisher of it, and you can access it, I'm sure, online if you check it out. So those two books, Robert Cardinal Sara's book, God or Nothing, which is a conversation on faith, God or Nothing, published by Ignatius Press. And secondly, for your own personal growth in the love of God, a book entitled The Impact of God, small book, Impact of God, Father Ian Matthew, first published in London. I really recommend it to you. All right, we want to look now at the readings for this Sunday, and the first is the second Sunday of Lent, and the first reading is taken from the book of Genesis. The Lord God took Abram outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. Just so," he added, "shall your descendants be." Abram put his faith in the Lord, who credited it to him as an act of righteousness. Abraham didn't know, but the Lord God took him outside, showed him the stars, and said, "Just so shall your descendants be." Well, Abram was an older man, and he didn't have any children. What did this mean? He then said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as a possession. O Lord God, he asked, this is Abram, how am I to know that I shall possess it? And he answered him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old she-goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Abram brought him all these, split them in two, and placed each half opposite the other, but the birds he did not cut up. Birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram stayed with them. And as the sun was about to set, a trance fell upon Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness enveloped him. When the sun had set and it was dark, there appeared a smoking firepot and a flaming torch, which passed between these pieces. It was on that occasion that the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants, I give this land from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. Magnificat magazine tells us, as Abraham looks up into the night sky and sees the radiant stars, God promises him that his descendants will be just as countless. This moves Abram to put his faith in the Lord. As Peter, John, and James looked up to the mountaintop and see the transfigured Jesus radiating like a star, that's the gospel for today, they beg for this miracle never to end. And then God says, this is my chosen son. Listen to him. So we have in the Old Testament where God helped Abraham to believe and to put his faith in God. And then we have the transfiguration in the New Testament where the disciples are brought up and they have this vision of the heavens. They have this vision of the glory of God. And as John Paul so often says, that gave them the grace to come down the Mount of Transfiguration and climb the Mount of Calvary. They were given something to help them in their faith. God holds out, perhaps not miraculous ones like these, but he holds out to us many, many opportunities to grow in faith in him. And I think that's one of the main themes this Sunday of Lent. Faith that he loves you, faith that he has made a covenant with you, faith that he wants us with him for all eternity. So let's follow him. Let's obey him. Let's become more like him. The book of Genesis is a book that is worth reading. It's worth pondering. It will give you background. It will give you understanding of how God began to work with his people. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light, my salvation. I'm not my own light. The job I have, the prestige I have, the credentials I have, the money I have, the possessions I have are not my light and my salvation. Why are we putting so much energy into them to the exclusion of God? Because it is God who is my light and my salvation. He is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? Hear, O Lord, the sound of my call. Have pity on me and answer me. Of you my heart speaks, you my glance seeks. Your presence, O Lord, I seek. Hide not your face from me. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, join with others in being imitators of me, brothers and sisters. Paul is saying, imitate me as I imitate Christ. God wants to put us in a position where we can say the same thing. But it means denying ourselves. It means giving up the things we like to do that take us away from God in one way or another. They may seem neutral to you, but they distract you. And your priorities can shift without even realizing it. Paul says this, join with others in being imitators of me, brothers and sisters. Observe those who thus conduct themselves according to the model you have in us. For many, as I have often told you and now tell you even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Do you conduct yourself as an enemy of the cross of Christ? Stop. Stop. Turn back to him. Turn back to the Lord. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are occupied with earthly things. But, says Paul, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body by the power that enables him also to bring all things into subjection to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, in this way, making the right choices, in this way, stand firm in the Lord. Paul's word goes out to all of you today. I'm just echoing it. It's St. Paul saying to you, stand firm in the Lord. Will you do that? Will you make a decision that will help you to move in that direction? Wishful thinking doesn't get you there. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. Here we are, one of the luminous mysteries of the rosary now. Jesus took Peter, John, and James, went up the mountain to pray, and while he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory, and they saw the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it's good that we're here. Here's Peter. He's just so enthusiastic. It's good we're here. Let's make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. We'll serve you. We'll make it nice for you. Let's just stay here. We want to stay in that moment of revelation. But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. And then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my chosen son. Listen to him. The cloud is understood to be the Holy Spirit. That cloud comes down upon them, and we hear the words. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to us, to reveal the Father to us. And that's what he does here. This is my chosen son. Listen to him, which is the voice of the Father, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit. After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. What a glorious moment. God, in his mercy, allows Jesus for a moment to be seen in his glory, to strengthen the faith of those weak apostles, just like we are, to strengthen their faith so that when they climb the mountain of Calvary, as all of us do at different times in our lives, we go through very difficult circumstances. We will not give up faith because we know that Jesus Christ is sent by the Father, the Father's Son sent to us to be our Savior and to bring us, as I so often say, safely home. Ponder this. Ponder this. John Paul urges you to ponder it while you're adoring the Blessed Sacrament. Ponder it that you may grow in faith. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.